Heaven's messages this week could not be clearer, that we're called to remain faithful to Jesus by remaining on that rock on which he builds his church. More on that next on Countdown to the Kingdom. Hello again, I'm Mark Mallett from Countdown to the Kingdom and thenowword.com. Well, last week the Lord put it on my heart. I want you to do a webcast on the Pope. And I have to admit, I kind of grimaced because Pope Francis has become such a lightning rod in the church, and you can hardly quote him or say anything about the Pope without starting a fight with somebody. And so I said to the Lord, I said, well, if this is really you, you want me to do this, I said, please confirm it. And later that night, I received an email from that Californian soul who we've quoted on our website. He's that one who receives a number from Our Lady, a number from the Blue Book, which is the collection of writings from the late Father Stefano Gobbi. And this is for the Marian Movement of Priests. And Our Lady's messages are in here, and they're all numbered. And how Our Lady speaks to him is she gives him a number. And now you have to understand, he's not an educated man. He can hardly read. He has a reading disability. And, you know, his theology even is, when Our Lady started doing this, he just did not understand the Catholic faith at all. And nonetheless, I have seen personally how the Lord has used him to confirm time and again, even things that I've been writing. And he, of course, I'm not talking to him. He lives in a different country. And I'll get a number sent to me from him that Our Lady gave him during a prayer cenacle or whatever. And it'll honestly, sometimes it'll be something I'm writing at that moment. It's been remarkable. So anyway, that day I said, Lord, if you want me to do a webcast on the Pope, please, you know, confirm this. That night he received a number 565 in the Blue Book. And he just sees these numbers appear in front of him and then they disappear. And that number, it brings us to that message called The Powers of Hell Will Not Prevail, and it's all about the Pope. And so after that, I had a pretty good idea that that's what Our Lady wanted me to talk about in the next webcast. And I think just to kind of put an icing on the cake, then there were two more messages that came down the pike from in the last day from Pedro Regis as well as Valeria Caponi. And all of them pointing toward remaining faithful to the church, remaining in communion with the true magisterium of the church and that rock. And so with that today, I want to just give a brief message, as brief as I possibly can, on this message. And I know there are people out there who literally think Pope Francis is the false prophet of the book of Revelation chapter 13, outside the Catholic Church and inside the Catholic Church. There are those of you who have followed him closely and you've seen many controversies, some of them very painful, such as the Pachamama scandal in the Vatican Gardens, where we saw people literally bowing down to mounds of dirt and to Amazonian Mother Earth statues. We've seen the Pope make statements on civil unions and vaccines and climate change that many have disagreed with because they're taking a scientific position. And so I understand that. And I don't want to sit here and litigate in this show all of the controversies around Pope Francis. I can assure you, I understand and have seen all of them because my readers make sure I know and have seen all of them. And I have followed it very closely and written many times about it. But today I want to present to you something different. I want to ask you a question. I want to go to something that Jesus said. And this is so important. Jesus, he often said that I came to do only the will of the Father. And so everything Jesus did, everything he said, that he felt was the will of the Father. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, "Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock." Now, 9 chapters later, Jesus says, "And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And so I want to point out those two scriptures, because for one thing, Jesus is saying, you know, he only came and he's only giving us the words of the Father. And then he says, only wise men build their house on rock. And then he says, now I'm going to build my church on rock. So here's my question to those of you right now regarding the church, the papacy, and everything. Do you think that Jesus is a wise builder? Jesus said, everyone who builds on rock is a wise man. Do you think Jesus is a wise builder? Well, obviously, the answer would be yes. I think Jesus is the wisest of men because he's God. And so I want you to keep that in the back of your mind, because those who are questioning the Pope right now, that's one thing. But to bring it to the extreme where people are beginning to panic, they're beginning to leave the church, they're beginning to use social media and the internet to beat up the Pope, to hammer the Pope, I think this really indicates, you know, those who are trying to defend the faith and they're doing it in that way, I think is actually revealing to us their lack of faith. Just the way the apostles, when they were in the boat during that storm, and the waters kept coming over the bow of the ship and filling it, and the apostles panicked, even though Jesus was in there with them. And he woke up and he said, "You have little faith. I mean, I'm God. I'm the master and creator of the seas. And you're doubting." I mean, perhaps they looked over at Peter and saw Peter throwing up overboard, or himself panicking and thinking, "Oh man, this guy, this is his boat and he's not even in charge anymore." And we might be tempted to feel that as we see some of these controversies surrounding Pope Francis. It's like, are we a rudderless ship, as Cardinal Raymond Burke once put it? And perhaps in our human nature, that's fair, but we're Christians. And we follow the word of God, and we're disciples of Jesus, of his word. You see, we're called to be faithful to Jesus, but loyal to the Pope. And I think a lot of people get that twisted around. It's faithful to the Pope, and well, you know, faithful to Jesus too, but loyal. They get it mixed up. You see, I'm a disciple of Jesus, but because Jesus said to us to obey your leaders, we need to listen to them. In fact, Jesus went even further than that. He said to the apostles, "Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." We need to let those words sink in, because Jesus is saying to his apostles, to the Pope, he is saying of these men, whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me. And for many people, this is a challenge, because our popes and our bishops are human. And it's a grave disservice to the chair of Peter for us to act as if everything the Pope says, every word he utters, is infallible gold. That is a disservice to the chair of Peter. Very rarely does the Pope speak in an infallible manner where what he utters is to be considered infallible. We've got only a few instances really in the church. But I think who best brings this into perspective was the Pope himself, Benedict himself. And I want to share with you a couple statements of his, because they're pure gold on how to put the papacy in the proper perspective. He said, "The fact that it is Peter who is called the rock is not due to any achievement on his part or due to anything exceptional in his character. It is simply a nomen officii, a title that designates not a service rendered, but a ministry conferred, a divine election, and a commission to which no one is entitled solely by virtue of his own character, least of all Simon, who, if we are to judge by his natural character, was anything but a rock." Isn't that powerful? I mean, here you've got the Pope saying that Peter himself is anything but a rock in his person and who he is. And we know this because, you know, when Jesus said those words to Peter, "Peter, you are a rock, and upon this rock I will build my church," two paragraphs later, Jesus is then rebuking Peter and saying, "Get behind me, Satan." But, you know, we have to think about post-Pentecost Peter. So, you know, after they received the Holy Spirit, even then, St. Paul had to go up to Jerusalem because of what Peter was doing. And he looked him in the face and he said, "Peter, you are not in line with the gospel." And so even in the scriptures, we see that the idea of thinking that our popes in everything, little thing they do in the churches is supposed to be infallible is a mistake. Popes can and do mistakes. What no pope has ever done, though, is made an ex cathedra error from the seat of Peter. And thus, again, going back to Pope Benedict, again, with these beautiful insights from the Pope himself, He said the post-Pentecost Peter is that same Peter who, for fear of the Jews, belied his Christian freedom. And that's what St. Paul rebuked him on. He is at once a rock and a stumbling block. And it has not been, and has it not thus been throughout the history of the church, that the Pope, the successor of Peter, has been at once Petra and Scandalon, both the rock of God and a stumbling block. So well said by Pope Benedict. That word Scandalon, stumbling block, from that word Scandalon comes the word scandal. And popes have scandalized the church over the years. We've had popes who have bedded women. We've had popes who have fathered children, who have sold their papacy, who have given away their papacy. I mean, we're talking about men who have the capacity to be sinful. You have to understand when Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, and this promise he made to Peter, it's based on what he would say later in the book of John, in that gospel, when he said, I will send you the Holy Spirit who will lead you into all truth. So two things, Jesus is building the church and the Holy Spirit is leading it into all truth. But not in such a way that it's like everybody gets their own Bible and everybody gets to crack it open and make their own mind up because they're praying to the Holy Spirit. No, Jesus established a church. I go right back to that word. And he said to the apostles, whoever listens to you listens to me. And with that, Jesus was indicating to us that these apostles, when they remain in communion with Peter, are infallibly then teaching the word of God. And in fact, when all of us who are baptized Christians share in that teaching and in that communion with the Pope, we too are sharing in the infallibility that Jesus guaranteed the church. If he didn't guarantee it, then he would have lied to us when he said the gates of hell would prevail against it. That's what it means. The church is infallible, and it must be. If the truth sets us free, we have to know what the truth is. Otherwise, if it changes from century to century or generation to generation, the truth will fast not become the truth. And that's the miracle of the Catholic Church. That's the miracle of the rock. In 2,000 years, the teachings of the church have remained consistent, and God has been faithful to that word. And so this week, I want to point you to the messages that are coming from heaven themselves, that are calling us right now to enter into the Catholic Church. Here's a message from Jesus on March 31st, Jesus to Valeria Caponi saying, my children, how many Judases there are on your earth? I suffer infinitely. Therefore, I need you, your offerings, your prayers coming from the heart. You know, this is a painful word, and it's so true right now. We have bishops who are not in communion with the Pope. We have bishops now who are departing. And while the Pope, you may not agree with some of his scientific pronouncements and statements, and that's fair and that's fine. You're not required to. The problem is bishops are actually departing now from the faith, and these are Judases. And I can say many people right now are feeling betrayed by priests who are calling the police on their flock for not wearing a mask, or feeling betrayed by bishops who are now separating the flocks, recommending that we put the vaccinated over here, the unvaccinated there. This is painful for us to see what's going on, where science is now becoming more of a god in our church and more important than the Eucharist and Jesus himself and getting the sacraments to the faithful. You all know the story of a priest this past week who said he wouldn't even hear the confessions of the unvaccinated. These are extraordinary times we're in. As I said, we've entered Gethsemane, and this is the time when we're going to see those who stay faithful with Jesus and carry on with the passion of the church, and those who will betray him and flee for fear of the authorities, the mob. And so that's a message from Valeria Caponi. Jesus also said, though, to Pedro Regis, and we've heard this so many times, rather Our Lady said this. She said, you are heading towards a future of great division and confusion. Only those faithful to the true magisterium of the Church of my Jesus will remain standing. Be attentive. What again is the true magisterium of the Church? The true magisterium of the Church is those who is the magisterium, the teaching authority of the church when he is confirming the faith. So when the Holy Father, for instance, is giving a papal interview, no, you and I aren't, we're not required to follow this. There's a limit to the Holy Father's infallibility, which is I was saying before. And I think it's so important to, you can hear my granddaughter back there. So I hope that makes you smile. Some little visitors from Easter. So that's okay. I hope it makes you smile. And I can't wait to go see her. So that's why I'm going to make this webcast short. But this is what Father Tim Flanagan, the tutor in sacramental theology at St. John's Seminary in England, said. He said, if you're troubled by some statements that Pope Francis has made in his recent interviews, it's not disloyalty or a lack of Romanita to disagree with the details of some of the interviews, which were given off the cuff. And the Holy Father does this all the time. Naturally, if we disagree with the Holy Father, we do so with the deepest respect and humility, conscious that we may need to be corrected. However, papal interviews do not require either the assent of faith that is given to ex cathedra statements or that internal submission of mind and will that is given to those statements that are part of his non-infallible but authentic magisterium. I think it's so important for you to hear that and to put it in perspective. Otherwise, if you think you have to agree with the Pope when he says something like, and he did, that we need to support the United Nations carbon emissions tax, it's okay to disagree with these kinds of things that are being said off the cuff, as long as we do so with respect and with the openness to that we need to be corrected. And so just know this. We're in a time where, you know, we come from John Paul II, Benedict XVI. They were so accurate 99% of the time. I think we've taken for granted. We took for granted these popes did pretty much everything they said was gold. But now we're seeing a pope who's more colloquial. He speaks off the cuff. He doesn't often finish thoughts. He leaves things hanging. He leaves ambiguities, even some of the documents written, like Amoris Laetitia. These are not clear documents, and they've left so much room that some bishops have taken these documents and interpreted them in a way that is heterodox, not faithful to the church. And this is grievous. This is why we're living in the times we are, where God is saying, I'm coming to purify my church. And so, you know, on that note, once again, what do we do when we see documents like this that are ambiguous? Or the Pope says something that's ambiguous. Should we go on social media and blast him? Or should we maybe try and understand what he was getting at and make sure that we're not just misinterpreting him from the media, which has totally butchered his words at times, and even the conservative Catholic media at times? You know, applying a kind of hermeneutic of suspicion has taken the Pope and not given him the full context, you know. And again, I'm being gracious to the Holy Father because we should. As the Catechism teaches us, we need to avoid rash judgment and make sure we always give others the benefit of the doubt. But as Cardinal Mueller, the former prefect of the CDF, said, Amoris Laetitia, for instance, must be clearly interpreted in the light of the whole doctrine of the Church. It is not right that so many bishops are interpreting Amoris Laetitia according to the way of understanding the Pope's teaching. This does not keep to the line of Catholic doctrine. Right there, you have a teaching of what to do when the Pope is confusing. If you don't agree with an opinion, fine, you can disagree with it. If there's something confusing, rather than condemn the Pope of heresy, help the Holy Father. As Cardinal Seurat said, we need to help the Pope as we would help our earthly fathers. Take that teaching, and where it's ambiguous, either find, like in Amoris Laetitia, you can find other statements that will clarify what seems ambiguous. Or you go back to John Paul II or the Catechism, and you say, well, here's the constant teaching of the Church, and no pope can change that teaching. And both Francis and Benedict themselves have even affirmed that. But when you see cardinals and even bishops, if they're teaching something different, this Cardinal Mueller said, these are sophistries. The word of God is clear, and the Church does not accept the secularization of marriage. This is the most important part. The task of priests and bishops then is not that of creating confusion, but of bringing clarity. And in this message, Jesus goes on to say, little children, act so that many children might repent in these last times and ask you and many Christians to enter into your and my Catholic Church, apostolic and Roman. Again, our Lord pointing to how our witness can actually keep people from the Catholic Church in our efforts to try and point out the flaws and the faults of the Holy Father. Be careful, Jesus is saying. You can drive people away from the one true faith, and there is only one true faith, and that is preserved in the Catholic Church. And so with that, brothers and sisters, I can just want to close by saying we need to pray for Papa. We need to pray for Papa Francesco. We need to pray for him and our bishops. We are all in our Gethsemane, them too. And we need to pray for them that they will not flee for fear of the wolves, as Pope Benedict once said. And so with that, I want to turn then to that final message from that Californian soul, the one that confirmed that I was to do this webcast for you. And I'm going to do something that I usually don't do because these messages are a little lengthy, but I want to read this whole message. I ask you to enter into a spirit of prayer. Now, I want you to remember this message was given. Let me look at the date again. That was 1996. Can I ask you a question? Not only is the question, is Jesus a wise builder? And if he is a wise builder, do you think then that Jesus knows what he's doing with the current papacy? Let me just say that. Do you think Jesus knows what he's doing? Do you think Jesus is helpless when the Pope makes mistakes or he says things off the cuff that aren't clear, that create scandal and confusion? The way I see it, Jesus is a wise builder. He could call home Pope Francis today. He could say, Francesco, you're over 80. It's time to come home. But he doesn't call him home. Neither does he send Our Lady to him in a vision at night and say, we need to correct the path of the church and go this way. He's not. And that says to me, Jesus is building the church wisely because Jesus knows what he's doing. He's a wise builder, building his house on rock. And what Jesus is doing right now, I'm convinced of it. He is sifting right now the weeds from the wheat. He is using the controversies right now to test the faithful and whether we still trust him when water crashes over the bow of the bark of Peter. This is a test. Are you fleeing? I know some people have left the Catholic Church. They failed the test. There's only one church. One church is St. Ambrose said, he says, wherever Peter is, he said, there is the church. You know, St. Catherine of Siena, the great saint who was known for having approached the Pope and correcting him to change his path and course, she said, to whom did he lead the keys of this blood? To the glorious Apostle Peter and to all his successors who are or shall be to the day of judgment, all of them having the same authority which Peter had, which is not diminished by any defect of their own. Catherine of Siena, Pope Pius XII said, they therefore walk in the path of dangerous error who believe that they can accept Christ as the head of the church while not adhering loyally to his vicar on Christ, his vicar on earth, rather, while not adhering loyally to his vicar on earth. These are warnings that come to us. And I love what St. Jerome said. He said, I follow no one as leader except Christ alone. Me too. Jesus is my Lord. I'm his disciple. And therefore, says St. Jerome, I want to remain in union in the church with you, that is with the chair of Peter. I know that on this rock, the church is founded. And so, not only is Christ a wise builder, he knows what he's doing. And Francis is here because Francis, I think, is being used to sift the church, to test the faith of the faithful. And he's allowing the wolves to his papacy. We've seen the wolves come out. So I think that's a good thing. We know who is for Christ now and who is not. But in this message right here of Our Lady to us, given in 1996, echoing so many of the messages of Our Lady throughout many decades, calling us to be faithful to the church. Our Lady who lives in eternity, do you think that Our Lady, who is only being obedient to God, wouldn't know if the Pope was going to become the false prophet, the beast of Revelation? Do you think that she would warn the church? On the contrary, including in the approved Revelation of Fatima, she shows that the Pope actually gives his life for the church in that vision that the kids saw. And so, not only is Jesus a wise builder, but I think so is Our Lady, and we need to trust in her words. And here we have this Californian soul giving us this message, meaning that Our Lady wants us to hear it again. And as you just saw from the other messages, it's totally consonant with the prophetic consensus coming to us this week, this holy week in the church, as we not only reflect on the passion of Jesus, but now we prepare for our own passion in the church. And what Our Lady is saying, she's saying that a storm is coming, and we've even shown it to you. We've graphically shown it to you on our website, showing you the storm and what it looks like according to the scriptures and church fathers. There's a storm coming, and remember what Jesus said. When the storm comes and the wind blows and the rain falls, whatever's built on sand will collapse. And that's why Our Lady is saying to you and I now, you need to be standing on the rock which my son has proclaimed to be Peter and the successors of Peter. And so with that, I want to read you this beautiful and powerful message. Jesus has founded his church upon the solid rock of the Apostle Peter. To Peter, Jesus has given the task of being the foundation of the church and of safeguarding all its truth. For Peter, Jesus has prayed that his faith might remain intact throughout the whole course of human history. To Peter, he has given the sure guarantee of his victory. The powers of hell will not prevail. The powers of hell will not prevail. The task entrusted to Peter is handed down to his successors. Thus, the Pope becomes today the foundation upon which the Church is built, the center where there converge her charity and assurance to ever maintain intact the deposit of faith. The powers of hell will not prevail, despite the fact that Satan has broken loose, sowing divisions and schisms. These deep wounds which have shattered the unity of the Church, the mystical body of my Son Jesus. All the various Christian confessions, which in the course of the centuries have separated themselves from the Catholic Church, represent a victory of the adversary against the unity of the Church, that unity willed by Christ and ardently implored of the Father. And now the effort is being made to rectify all these errors by walking the path of reconciliation and ecumenism. However, the coming together of all the Christian confessions in the Catholic Church will take place with the triumph of my Immaculate Heart in the world. The powers of hell will not prevail, despite the fact that my adversary has broken loose in order to bring you to a breakdown of charity. For this, he launches a strong attack on the Pope, who presides over all the charity of the Church. And so, division has entered into her very own structure. Above all, in the division which often sets bishops against bishops, priests against priests, faithful against faithful. Satan has succeeded in building up his triumph. But the powers of hell will not prevail, because after the painful period of the purification and the great tribulation, the Church will shine forth in all her light of charity, of unity, and of holiness. And this will be one of the greatest benefits which my motherly love will bring to the Church. The powers of hell will not prevail, even if now they have reached the point of contesting the Pope, of opposing him openly, and of rejecting his magisterium. Thus, errors are being spread about by which many draw away from the true faith. But I am calling all my children to the greatest fidelity to the Catholic Church. I am instilling in them a love for the Church, zeal for her unity, passion for her holiness, and strength for her work of evangelization. And thus, through those who are consecrating themselves to my Immaculate Heart, I am bringing to nothing all the effort which Satan is exerting in his attempt to draw many of my children away from the one and only Church instituted by my Son Jesus, and by means of my extraordinary and my motherly intervention, once again the powers of hell will not prevail. The power of Christ will be revealed when he brings his reign of glory into the Church, and then all the powers of hell will be imprisoned so that they will no longer be able to do any more harm in the world. Then the Holy Church of God will be able to pour out upon all the nations of the earth the greatest splendor of its truth and its holiness.